Welcome to History According to Bob, Vacation 2018, Part 6. I think this will be the last. I think I can cover everything tonight in this. Update on the library. I am now to the Napoleonic era and replacing the books in the proper order. So that means I'm 3/4 of the way finished. And hopefully by tomorrow or the next day, I'll be back in business again, fully. I do like my new desk structure and my printing and ability to make everything happen. So, when we left off the last time, we were in Anzane, Haute-Chaumont, Loire. Anzane is a small little community across the Loire River from the little town of Chaumont, where the Chateau Chaumont is. And so we had originally stayed at the moat, Le Douze, and on Sunday we moved to the apartment of our balloon pilot, Lorenz, and we made the transition at about noon. Actually, it was a really tough transition. We had to walk a whole block from where we were staying to where her house was. It was a really nice apartment. It's a 2-bedroom apartment. Upper section would be for the family. And so it had a living room, dining room, kitchen all in one space, and then the bedroom and a really nice bathroom. And it was air conditioned, which was really nice. And she had really good Wi-Fi. Actually, the best Wi-Fi of the whole trip. So that was a plus. We, of course, did not have any food to put in there. We thought we'd take care of that by going to the market, but that wasn't going to be open again until 8 o'clock the next day. Now, we had rented this for 6 days. That's all she, you know, you rent 6 days, and in one day she then has to clean and do all sorts of other stuff. And we picked 6 days because the last time, which was 3 years ago, when we were in the Loire Valley, we wanted to go on a balloon flight. And initially, it was just a regular balloon flight with probably another 14 people. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And we were there for 4 days in Amboise, and it looked like we weren't going to get a chance to do that. And then Lorenz called and said that they could offer us a private balloon flight, just for my wife and I, and the pilot. And we got one good day, early morning, and we took it. And it was spectacular. We floated over Chaumont, what we ended up doing, and down the Loire River towards Amboise. And at sunrise, you hear the animals making noises and everything going on. It was quite nice. So this time, for our 5th anniversary, I asked if we could fly over or near Chenonceau. And she said, well, that wouldn't be a problem. We just have to wait for the weather. And the dates that we had picked, which is the first week in June, should have been a pretty good situation. So what I had done is we had scheduled the balloon flight for Monday. Now, we went in on Sunday. We scheduled it for Monday. And then Tuesday, we were supposed to have a tour. And then Wednesday, I bought train tickets to go to see the Chateau of Blois in Blois. And then the next day, I had tickets to go to Angers. And then Friday, I had tickets to go to Chinon. And what would happen is, if we flew on Monday, everything would be perfect. If we didn't fly on Monday, I would move one of the other days of the week. It's nothing to it. Just go into the train station and switch dates. And then we would just move them. So Sunday, weather forecast was not good for Monday. It was going to be cloudy. And visibility was low, and some other issues, and possibility of rain. So Monday was out. So Monday we planned to go to Bois, which was our Wednesday trip. So I went down to the train station and talked to the gentleman, and he said, no problem. They just took it, switched it, and gave us those tickets. So Monday morning, we get up. We walk down to the train station, which is about a mile, mile and a quarter. Get on our train and go to Bois, which was like 10 minutes away. You get out of the train station, and there's the chateau. It's a six-minute walk. And so we went and spent the whole day at that particular chateau. It's a very large art museum. So it has art and all sorts of other stuff. And the citadel has, there's a Renaissance section where most of the time when the king stayed there. And then there's a newer section. And so there are different parts of it. And the reason I wanted to go and see it was, of course, this was where King Henry III was assassinated during the French Wars of Religion, shortly after he had had his main competitor, Henry of Guise, murdered. And in the end, that allowed the third Henry, the future Henry IV, Henry of Navarre, to claim the king's title and end the Wars of Religion. And they have the bedroom, and they have all kinds of stuff that goes with it, and they have a whole room with paintings of the various aspects of the French Wars of Religion. That was pretty fascinating. Plus other rooms and equipment, and the art museum was really, really nice. And so Sherry and I did that, and then we sat out in the park area and had dinner, well, I shouldn't say lunch. And it's right next to what is known as the Museum of Magic, where they do all kinds of history of magic, and there's shows and different things that they do. And every half hour, the windows open, and dragons' heads come out, and they bellow, and then there's a tail that comes out of a chimney, and this goes on for about 5 to 10 minutes, and it's kind of like the introduction to it's time for the next group. So we finish there. We get back on the go back to the train station. What I usually would do is schedule the early morning train or a train of 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, somewhere in there, and then the return train, usually about 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5. But the tickets are day passes, so as long as I stay in the same class, I can leave. We can leave on any train. So usually we ended up leaving on an earlier train. We just had to make sure it stopped at Anzaine, because not all trains will stop there. There's no TGV on this particular line, so it's either in inner cities, which normally just hit the major towns, or what's called as a terre, or a territorial, which stops everywhere. And the terres are quite fun, and the inner cities are nice too, and they usually stop at Anzaine, because they stop at all of the towns that have a major tourist chateau to visit. So we did that, we went back home, went to the grocery store, had fun going to the grocery store, because we had done this before, 3 years ago, going into a store. We knew that when you bought produce, you take the produce. Here in the United States, you just take the produce, put it in a bag, take it up to the counter, and they weigh it and charge you. If it were bananas, for example, you wouldn't even put them in a bag. You just take the bananas up to the thing, and they would weigh it. And that's not the way it works. You take your produce, and you put it in a bag. Then you take it to the scale, punch in the number, it then weighs it and gives you a label that you stick on the plastic container so that the woman who is checking out just checks out. That's all she does is check out. And so Sherry needed coffee, we needed sugar, we needed some snacks, some cheese, whatever else. So we just basically took the cart and went up and down the rows looking at what was available, translating what's on the label and picking out the food. And then, of course, we need shampoo and soft soap and toiletry items. So we found pretty much everything except the shampoo and the soft soap. And so Sherry asked this one lady, and Sherry doesn't really speak any French except hello and thank you and good morning. And through a discussion with hands, they figured out where it was, and shampoo is shampoo in French. So we found that, and then while we were standing in line checking out, we got to a conversation with another lady, an older lady, who happened to be actually older than Sherry. She was 76. Sherry was 73. And both women looked stunning. And so they chatted and talked and whatever, and with broken English and a little broken French. And so we had a very nice time and then went back to the apartment and had dinner. I bought a chicken. Already cooked chicken, which actually lasted 3 days. It was gigantic. It was 3 pounds for €8. Normally you get a pound chicken here for about $6.50, somewhere along in there. But this was tasty. So that was Monday. So Tuesday, we were supposed to go to Tours and take our tour. We're supposed to meet up with a group. It's called Apo Dispo, and what he does is this gentleman runs the organization. He takes you to the site, so you're basically paying for a driver. He gives you background history. He gives you some tips on what to do with the amount of time that you have, which is very helpful. A little quick background of the area, and then he turns you loose and you do your own thing. So I really like that. It was basically, I think it was 25? I think it was 25 euros for each of us for the morning, and then you had to buy your tickets as well. You could give him the money and you got a discount. So we were supposed to go to Villandry, which is the big garden, and Azay-le-Rideau. So we have a problem because I have a confirmation number for Tuesday. And then I have an email that says it's Wednesday. So we go on the tours on Tuesday, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And so he doesn't show up. So we assume we have the wrong date. Well, that's all right, because we hadn't had a chance to walk around the city of Tours, which is a pretty good-sized city. And I wanted to see the old pilgrimage site of St. Martin of Tours. So we were there at the information center for the tourist group, so they gave us a map, showed us where everything was, and, you know, it was probably a mile and a half from where we were. So we walked down the main street, past the Palais de Justice, and then turn and go to St. Martin of Tours. Well, the church that's there now was built in the 1800s, but it has in the crypt, it has part of the tomb of old St. Martin and some of the other stuff. And then you walk outside and you see there's a tower, and that is part of the original church. That was part of the original St. Martin of Tours, which was one of the largest Christian churches in the world at the time in the Middle Ages. This was on the pilgrimage route to Santiago de Compostela, okay, and figures prominently in the fact that when the Muslims invaded France in the 700s, that Charles Martel gathered up the Frankish forces and defeated them at the Battle of Tours, although it was really fought at the Battle of Poitiers, 90 miles south, but for propaganda purposes, it's called the Battle of Tours. And this victory ultimately allowed Charles Martel, or Charles the Hammer, as he's called, to get church support to overthrow the Merovingian kings, and ultimately his children became the new leaders of France, starting the Carolingian dynasty, which ultimately had Charlemagne. So it's a big deal. And the church, what's left of it, is one tower under which one of Charlemagne's wives was buried. And then the bell tower is still there. And on the street, they have markings that show the outline of where the exterior of the church was. But it was monstrous. It was huge. And so we saw that, took some pictures, walked around that area, went back, had lunch, checked out the train station, because the train station, when we were there 3 years ago, was being restored. And it was designed by the architect who did the Museum d'Orsay train station. And Gustave Eiffel supplied the steelworks for the interior of it. So when you're in the inside of the station waiting for your train, all the magnificent steelwork is Eiffel's. It's all been restored. It's beautiful. Beautiful little train station. So we get back on the train, go back home. Well, this would have caused us a little bit of problem, because Wednesday would have been a day we would have done something, but I moved Wednesday to Monday, so Wednesday was open. The only difference was the balloon trip going to take place? Well, it did not. It wasn't going to happen again on Wednesday. The weather was bad. So we just simply went back to Tours, got on our regular tour that we were supposed to have, and we went first to Vallandry, which was really, really nice. But one of the thing I've talked about many times is when you get a tour, there's a limit. So, you know, you get to Vallandry, and it's a very large estate and has all these beautiful square garden areas and what have you. We're only going to be here an hour and 20 minutes. Well, if you're trying to see the whole thing, it's not possible. Now, Sherry didn't want to see all the exterior stuff, but she wanted to see the gardens, so that was perfect. So Sherry went into the garden area and took close-up pictures of the various gardens. I then did the perimeter of the whole place and shot all of the different sections where you have the fountains and the maze and all those type of things all the way around the edge. So in the end, we end up with a perfect view of the site. We would have liked to have had a little more time there, because they had a garden gift shop where you could buy seeds and you could actually buy plants, which was really neat. And then the other part, the souvenir shop, had all kinds of cool stuff. But you know, basically, we didn't have time to do that. One of the things that they had is you went up. They had two vantage points. One vantage point was up on a wall that most people stayed in. I went up to the higher one. But they, to tell you, to keep track of, because you have all these different squares of garden, and they have this pillar, and in it, they look like gigantic dice, but they represent all of the gardens, all the squares of the garden, so you can turn the device to what garden you're looking at, and it tells you what's there and that type of plant. So that was fun, and I went around to the exterior thing, which was nice. We did not go into the palace itself and have time for that, but it's mostly quarters of the people who own it. Then we drove to Azy-le-Rideau, which is a relatively small chateau. It was owned by a banker who basically allowed his wife to do the interior design and everything else. And it had, the banker had a very bad time. What happened is, at the time of the Hundred Years' War, the gentleman who owned it and his people around there, the Dauphin Charles, who will ultimately be King Charles VII, but unfortunately at this particular time, he's just the Dauphin, because Henry V's son is the King of France at this point. Well, Charles VII, or the Dauphin Charles, is not noted for his great beauty. He's pretty ugly. And I guess he was out riding with an old beat-up horse with an entourage that did not indicate that he was royalty. And they go by Azzy Lourdeau, and everybody makes fun of him. They start telling jokes and making fun of what he looks like and making fun of his horse. And, of course, Charles doesn't appreciate that, so he goes back and gets his regular troops. They go back and basically destroy the place. And then it's reconstructed. Now, there are two chateaus in the Loire Valley that are really unique in the fact that it's not just their beauty, it's their usability. One of them is Chenonceau, in which Diane of Poitiers really had a hand in making that work. And you can go into that in the kitchen and all of the rooms, they work. You feel like it's a working building. It's not just a palace where the people bring the stuff in and from long distances. And the same is true at Azzy. Azzy Lourdeau is much smaller than Chenonceau, but you have the same feel. You come in, there's the kitchen, there's the dining area, all the rooms. It works really, really well, and it's very easy to tour and visit. And they have a lot of equipment and room and furniture and stuff like that, and some really nice collection of tapestries in there. And, of course, it's surrounded by water, a diverted stream. Actually, it's a diverted little river. And when I was there 32 years ago, they were just cleaning it up, and now it is magnificent. They said they had just finished the exterior, the work on the place 7 months ago. So it was as in pristine shape. It was magnificent. We took lots of pictures, and it was great. So then they simply dropped us off at the city of Tours, and we got back on the train and headed back. So now it's going to be Thursday. We talked to Lorenz that night, and she said it's questionable in the morning. It's a possibility that we could go in the evening, but that Friday looked like the best day. And so we opted, okay, we'll just go ahead and do Friday. Well, one of the things that I noticed that I thought on Thursday we were going to go to Angers and visit the Tapestry of the Apocalypse and the Chateau and all that stuff, but and then do Chinon on Friday. So that would mean that we'd miss Chinon. And in reality, what I ended up with was them flipped. So we got up in the morning and we went to Chinon. Now, Chinon, we would take the train in the Tours and change to a regional train and go out there. And they only run four trains in and out there, two in the morning and two in the evening for commuter traffic. Because it's basically a dead-end line at Chinon. And Chinon was the palace, one of the palaces, along with Loches and a couple of places, where the Dauphin Charles stayed while he's waiting to be crowned. And this is where Joan of Arc is going to meet him. She actually meets him at two places. She meets him at Loches and also meets him at Chinon. And the Chinon one is supposed to be the one where he hides in the crowd and she still finds him and picks him out. And so it's another, you know, I've been doing some stuff on this trip to get my Joan of Arc notes and stuff all up to snuff. But it's magnificent. It sets up on a bluff. It's very much like Amboise. You set up overlooking the town, overlooking the river. Now, in this case, it's the River Vienne. But the town is much bigger than Amboise. It's a much larger town. So we get in, we get out of the station, we simply walk down the main street, which is right along the river. We go all the way down to the main bridge. We go across it. We take pictures of the magnificent fortress up above, which was originally a Gallic fortress. And then, of course, the Romans fortified it. And then everybody and their brother has fortified it. And the English used it as well. It actually was one of Henry II's favorite palaces. And I believe Henry II died here in Chinon. And so now we're, of course, in the situation of, sure, he's wanting to know, how are we getting up to the top? Are we going to have to walk another 200 feet? No, the people of Chinon have provided a free elevator. and it takes you right up the bluff. So we go up there, and we walk through lots of good restoration, some great, they have some really interesting things for school groups, but they have an incredible, and I put it up on the website of History According to Bob, the bombards, cannons, the siege equipment that they used against castles. They had them all appropriately there, and in the kind of containers that they would have been, the caissons, and all sorts of cool stuff. So there was a lot of really good equipment, and then a lot of authentic armor on the interior as well. And we had beautiful, beautiful weather and got great pictures. And they had a great gift shop, so we bought some stuff for the grandchildren, and I got my usual guidebook to Chinon. We had lunch in the palace fortress there, and had a wonderful time. Went back down, went through the little town, and back to the train station, and back to Auxaine. Friday is the balloon trip, so we just kind of sat around. Because we're going to make sure we could have gone in the morning, but morning was hazy. And so at noon, she said, "Yes, it's a done deal. She'll come by and pick us up at 7. So it picks us up. There's not much wind, but we go to Chenonceau, and so we've done this before. It's just Sherry and I, and Lawrence and her crew man. And so we helped them to put the balloon together and blow it up. We get in and up we go. And we just float up in the air. There's 5 or 6 other balloons that are going up as well. There's also about 5, they're like gliders, except they've got a fan on the back so they can maneuver around, which didn't bother us, but it seemed kind of annoying, some of the bigger balloons. And so we just gradually floated right over the top of Chenonceau. We got great visual pictures above, sideways, the whole business. And one of the big balloons actually almost landed on it, and then lifted off, fortunately. So we have some pictures with the balloon down there, and then we have pictures without the balloon, so that's okay. So we did that for like an hour and 15 minutes, something like that. And then we're gradually go back over, and Lorenz lands us in a field. Nothing to it. Just set us down perfectly. And then we helped to put the balloon back in the bag and into the thing, and then we go back and she drops us off. And so that pretty much ended our day. The one thing that we had to do then was leave. We had to go back to Paris, and she had a balloon flight scheduled for Saturday morning. She didn't know whether she would be able to take us to the train, but the people we'd stayed at first offered to drive us to the train if we needed it. But the morning as we got ready to go, Lorenz showed up. She was able to finish her flight, and she took us to the train station. So I highly recommend, if you're in the Loire Valley, to take the balloonists are called the Montgolfiers, and so it's a company that operates out of Auxaine, and they're really, really nice and accommodating. And I take Lorenz, but you get who you get sometimes. So we get on the train, we go back to Paris, and we're going to stay at the Gare de Lyon Mercure, Hotel Mercure. And we basically, what we come in on Saturday, we arrive about noon, and we check into the hotel. We've been here before. And there's a reason why we're staying here, and you'll hear about that in just a second. So in order to get into the hotel, you have to buzz, and they have to check before they let you in. Once you're in, once you check in the room, your room key is your entrance into the hotel. It is the entrance into the elevator, and you get into the elevator, and then you have to put your card in and then punch where you're going. And then, of course, it's also your room key. Part of this is because there's some immigrant camps across the river by the guard Austerlitz, and they're just trying to be careful. It's the same thing in Rouen, but by the time we got to Rouen, they had dropped that security measure. No, it doesn't bother me at all. So what Sherry and I did the rest of the day on Saturday is we shopped. We went around looking for items for people that we hadn't gotten stuff for, and we were pretty comfortable. And then we decided, well, we've never been to the Trocadero, which is the museum area right across the Seine River from the Eiffel Tower. So we go to the Trocadero. We get out, and this is the closest thing that we came to finding horrible tourist activity. The place was packed. Part of the Trocadero was set up because for a race. The next day they were having a 10K race called Race Paris. So they had part of that with tents as they were setting it up. There were thousands and thousands of people all trying to take pictures with the Eiffel Tower behind them and what have you. And so we're there and we do the picture-taking thing. Usually there's a lot of tourist shops and things, and there are very few of them. So they really kind of cut down on that. So we thought, okay, what the heck? Let's walk by go visit the Eiffel Tower, and then walk down the Champ de Mars to the military academy. Well, we cross the river and we get to the other side, and now you're trying to get across to the Eiffel Tower. Well, they're putting an anti-terrorist cordon around the Eiffel Tower. They're putting in plexiglass, clear, shatterproof, bombproof plexiglass. But right now, that's not up. They have this metal fence that doesn't just go around the Eiffel Tower. It goes, almost around the whole block. So it takes a while to be able to walk down to cross the street and to even get to the Champ de Mars. Now, if you have tickets, you go in on one side through security. If you don't have tickets and you have to get tickets, they have another location that you go in. It was quite a mess. It was not as much fun as the 5 years ago Sherry and I had dinner at the Eiffel Tower, and it was a little easier to get around. But I understand the situation, and in a few months that'll all be straightened out. So we walk down the Champ de Mars, take some pictures, get on the metro, go back to the hotel. So Sunday is our last day in France. That's the end of our vacation. And I was hoping that we weren't exhausted, and it turned out to be perfect. What we did is this. We got up at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, we got up at 8, had breakfast, and then we went to Notre Dame for church. Now, the English International Service is at 11:30. The 10 o'clock service is the Gregorian service, with the old Gregorian chant. And the service before that is the standard French service. So we got there a little early, and yes, they're still having tour groups, but if you're going to Mass, you just go in and say, we're going to Mass, and you get in, and then they seat you. So we got in at the end of the French service, which was, it's hard to, old Catholic, now Orthodox Christian, the pomp and circumstance of the Middle Ages it appeals to me. The Orthodox Church, we chant, but we don't have any musical accompaniment. To hear the choir sing in that church and to hear the organ was an incredible experience. So we stayed, I think we had the last 15 minutes of the 9 o'clock service. at the 10 o'clock service, it's in Gregorian chant. And it is stunning. I recorded some parts of it, not visually, but the sound, so the students could hear what it sounds like in class. Pastor gave a very good sermon. I could pick up about 40% of it. It was packed. There must have been 5,000 or 6,000 people there. There were 16 priests and deacons giving out communion, and most people went to communion. We did not. We were not Catholic, and we had also had breakfast prior, so that was. But that's okay. That's all right. And that was wonderful. So we get out of the service, go back to the hotel, and change. I don't change here. We got the same clothes on. I've had a tie on for church. Now what we're going to do is at 2:30 in the afternoon, we have tickets for the Bastille Opera House. Now, I didn't have much choice for what we were going to see. What was available at the time is an opera by Rachmaninoff. Yeah, I believe it's Rachmaninoff. Boris Godunov is what it was. And so it was kind of a dismal Russian death piece, but it was spectacular. Huge cast. For heaven's sakes, the applause, I mean, at the end of the show, it took almost 30 minutes to give everybody their due, but it was stunning. Had good seats, and Sherry loved it. She's very much a actor-actress type of thing, theater person. So we finish that, we go back to the hotel, and now it's time for dinner. I've made reservations at the restaurant in the train station. It's Train Blue. This is the restored turn of the century. That is 19th century. I mean, 1890s restaurant. High class, high dollar, magnificent. So I've carried the whole time a tuxedo, a white dinner jacket, so that just for this particular thing. And so Sherry and I went in there and made reservations. And the last time we were there, they seated us in a kind of a off-of-the-way place where they usually put fancy parties. Because we look great, let me tell you, we look great. And unfortunately, they didn't do that this time. And we were a little disappointed, but then we found out later on that they had the back section had been reserved for a party of some sort. So there were 30-some people came in, and they were running like chickens with their heads cut off. So we had a wonderful two-hour meal and sat there and enjoyed the surroundings. And then went back and packed to come back here to Kansas City and think about what we're going to do for next year. And the plane trip back was no problem. Didn't have any problems at the airport, except they did everything but strip search me. I don't know what it is, because I'm the one who carries the souvenirs and the backpack and the carry-on. And invariably, here in the United States, we've got the X-ray machines where they can tell the books are books and not a dead space. But evidently in Europe, it's still a dead space. And I've tried every way in the world to fix that. And this is the second time I've been given the third degree. But anyway, I eventually get through security, get on the plane. We had those seats that I talked about before. Got into Philadelphia, but the problem is there's an 8-hour layover in Philadelphia. They've changed. I asked the people, and they said, "Oh, we're changed. They've dropped a lot of regional flights." And I said, "Well, you make it really troublesome." So I bought a day pass for the Admiral Club, so we sat up there and snacked and relaxed and recharged all of our electronic devices, and then I went wandering around the area, and then we went and got on our plane. Our bags arrived without any problem. Everything was okay. Nothing was broken, because we did have some glass items, and some of them we had to put in the suitcase. And then we came back to Kansas City, and here we are. Now, at this point, I think that what we're planning on doing, I have convinced Sherry to make a run to Egypt. So at this point, it looks like we're going to fly to Athens, spend a day or two in Athens recuperating from the trip, then fly to Egypt for 3 or 4 nights, see the pyramids, see the Egyptian Museum, and maybe take a tour down the Nile to Saqqara, see the Step Pyramid. Then go back to Greece and go to Thessaloniki and stay there for four days. Take a side tour to Pella and Varinia to see all of the Macedonian headquarters of Alexander the Great and Philip II, their tomb or Philip's tomb, and all the artifacts associated with the Macedonians. Then we'll see all the rest of the stuff there, and Sherry might actually get a chance to go snorkeling. And then we're going to fly to Vienna, and we're going to be in Vienna for a week. So my German listeners, perhaps we can set up a time and a place where we can meet and have a dinner or some drinks and sit around and chat about History According to Bob, or meet and greet, or whatever you want to do. But with 7 days, we ought to be able to figure out a time that I can meet Iki and some of the other people that have been with me for a very, 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 very long time. And then after Vienna, we're going to take the train to Venice. And I'm not sure whether we're going to just spend a couple of nights in Venice and then fly back to Athens to come home. Or we might go to Milan for a couple of days. We were just in Milan for a day trip. We might go to Milan for a couple of days, maybe Florence for a couple of days. I don't know how that's going to work, but we definitely are going to do the Thessaloniki, Macedonia, Egypt, and Vienna at this point. At any rate, thank you for listening to this. I hope I haven't bored you too much. And tomorrow I'll go back to doing regular shows. So thank you very much.